following is a previously broadcast program.
Welcome to Queer Core on CKUT 90.3 FM, Montreal's only queer culture show that bridges any divide between queer sex and radical queer politics. Due to the fabulous nature of queer experience, tonight's program may contain sexually explicit or coarse language. You've been advised.
You're listening to Queer Core on CKUT 90.3 FM, and it is Monday, November 1st, 2021. Today you'll be listening to the audio from an official response interview to the proposed Bill 2, held last week on October 26th by CUTV Concordia. You'll hear the Center for Gender Advocacy's Celeste Trianon talk about how this incredibly transphobic bill will endanger trans people in Quebec. You'll then hear a short documentary about historical trans trial events in Quebec, created by CUTV. Keep it locked on CKUT 90.3 FM. Celeste, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, and thank you for inviting me. And I'm really here just to talk about the elephant in the room. It's called Bill 2.
Bill 2. So for some of you who have not heard the news last Thursday, Celeste, can you tell us a bit about the background of what this is about?
So let's just say this bill is an enormous regression, and I've dubbed it the most transphobic bill in the entire history of not just Quebec, but Canada as a whole. It is truly the most regressive bill on this end in the entire country.
So one thing that I learned from working on this video about the history of the trial is that there have been a lot of advances that have been made over a long period of time to advance the rights of people, specifically in Quebec, where it's notorious that trans rights are way behind rights of trans folks everywhere else in Canada.
Yeah, but actually Quebec once upon a time was ahead. The ability for trans people to change their gender marker was first introduced in 1978, albeit with lots of requirements, of course, and trans people have been protected from discrimination on the basis of sex since 1998. So there has been lots of advances both at the legal and judicial levels a long time ago, but in recent years Quebec has really fallen behind. For example, no province except Quebec has asked for a citizenship requirement to change a gender marker since 1995, and that held true until this requirement was abolished back in January with the court case.
Yeah. So a long road to get there, and even so, in January, there were a few losses concerning the rights of trans youth. So would you be able to speak a bit, too, to how the fight to also fight for those losses are impacted now by this bill?
Yeah, so we were expecting that to be almost the next advance, the next frontier. So mainly fighting back against the Quebec government's attempt to basically fight back against the rights for trans youth to be able to change their gender marker without having to consult a medical professional or healthcare, social work, etc. professional. And that requirement has been dubbed as something to quote-unquote purely appease society by many. So removing this would only be the logical step to make. You can imagine trans rights could have gone so much farther, but with Bill number 2, it's a massive step back.
So thank you so much for highlighting this and this connection, especially with the rights of trans youth. Can you explain to some of us in the audience here who may not know, understand what the bill is actually proposing? Just give us a bit of what is underlined there.
All right. So Bill 2 notably reintroduces a mandatory gender-affirming surgery requirement. And by the way, gender-affirming surgery is always sterilizing. So effectively, a sterilizing surgery requirement in order to be able to amend your quote-unquote sex designation, which has not been a thing in Quebec since 2015. You can imagine 6 years back, or if you're extrapolating a little, 43 years back. That's the big one, but there's also so many other problems introduced within this bill. So for example, the Quebec government's attempting to make up for this using a new gender marker, which they dub as a gender identity marker. But the truth is, this gender identity marker is separate from the sex designation and will effectively serve as a way to separate trans people from their cisgender counterparts. And by separating them, once again, this makes trans people very vulnerable, makes them extremely, extremely seen, which has always been an active objective within the trans community. In a way, fighting for trans rights is fighting for broader trans inclusion in society, which necessarily involves not being as visibly trans, but this gender identity marker will make them extremely visible. All trans folks' identity cards will specify them as trans in a way by specifying gender marker instead of sex. And there's just so many other regressions on this end. Additionally, trans parents are negatively affected by this bill because their children aged 14 and above can object to them through administrative means against their parents' gender identity. You can imagine how that will go. They will receive a birth certificate not recognizing their parents' gender identity if they object, which will be usable in order to out them. And the non-binary parent marker, which has been won back in January, the government's trying to limit that to non-binary people, and that will necessarily mean that non-binary people with a parent marker will be outed as parents, as non-binary parents, which is once again very dangerous. Mm. I can't just stop by emphasizing only like how this bill will negatively affect trans people, because it also really, really hurts the intersex community too. So this bill proposes that a new undefined sex marker be assigned to intersex newborns, and their parents should then be required to assign a gender identity marker to them. So this in itself might not seem too harmful until we realize that this will only further encourage the human rights violating practice of intersex genital mutilation, the practice of basically modifying an infant's sex organs, intersex infant's sex organs, without their consent in order to make their sex organs conform more with binary gender norms. And you can imagine how bad such a surgery would be. It's potentially sterilizing, not always fortunately, but potentially. It could make it so that they suffer from lifelong physiological damages. It could scar them psychologically for life. You can kind of see just how much this bill will affect both the trans and the intersex communities.
No, the impacts run so deep from what you're explaining. So, can you tell us a bit about what has been the response in the community that you've been hearing, and maybe what are some ways currently that folks are organizing to be able to have their voices heard?
Yeah, so the bill, so the trans community's response to this bill has been overwhelmingly and unanimously negative, and so the intersex communities. And so far, lots of action has been taken within the community to fight back against this bill. Sorry. So, for example, a legally binding petition was just today filed by myself alongside Manu Masi in order to present to the Assemblée Nationale and giving all Quebec citizens and residents a pathway to object against this bill through like a legally binding means. So that is just one thing. Additionally, there have been efforts to coordinate sending emails, calling lawmakers, MNAs in order for them to be made aware of the transphobic provisions within the bill and make them more strongly opposed to it. There's also been political opposition, notably from Quebec Solidaire, who the center has been working with very, very closely, and also Quebec Liberals, who also suggested making a petition with us. So there clearly is very, very strong opposition at all levels of government, and also throughout the community.
Fantastic. So maybe just so we can open the floor and get more questions, we are now going to open questions from the press. So if there is anyone who'd like to share a question, you can also write some in the chat on our Facebook, and we'll be able to respond to those. So we'll give some space now for that.
Awesome. So, y'all want to start?
Sure. So, my first question would be, since Bill 2 has been proposed, what has the response been from other levels of government in Canada? Is there anyone condemning the Quebec government, or has there been any response?
To my knowledge, there hasn't really been any responses, but I can say overall that the reaction also has negative on this end. It really is like, there really is like lots of like informal responses like against Bill Chu because of his transphobic nature, but it really is like, there hasn't been anything official yet, although the trans community can only hope that there is official involvement.
Speak into the mic. So my other question would be, what can just other people who are in the trans community or not do to help support the trans community right now and continue to like fight against the passing of Bill 2?
So there's so many things you can do. So for example, a few things I haven't done already is like lots of like grassroots activism, which I've seen it's incredible just how fast the community can organize itself, and there have been protests planned as low as 3 or 4 days after the bill was introduced. So it really is something incredible, and you can always join in with them. Additionally, you can always donate funds to organizations fighting for trans rights. So for example, there's a center, but there's also many other organizations which do fight for trans rights, which you can donate to, especially if your wallet is a little thicker. There's also currently, you can also sign the legally binding petition as soon as it is made available. And you can also call your lawmakers. Just tell them directly that this bill is wrong. Tell them that this is not, that we won't accept transphobia and interphobia in a modern 21st century society.
Maybe we'll just reiterate your question afterwards.
Sure. What's the Quebec government's justification for passing a bill like this now?
So their purported justification is to comply with the Moore judgment. So complying with Center for Gender Advocacy AL versus the Attorney General. But you can imagine they really did twist the meaning around. Like, the judgment never specified like a distinction between sex and gender should be applied at a legal level. So this really is like, in a way, just the twisting of a judgment which otherwise would have been a humongous victory for the trans community.
And just to clarify that too, for an audience maybe who has not followed the points of that case as meticulously, could you talk about specifically what points in Article 71 those were talking about that they are now reversing?
So the actual victory for Article 71 was back in 2015, when the government finally finally applied Bill 35 on that end, making it so that mandatory sterilizing surgeries are no longer required to change your sex designation. And you can imagine how that went. So in 2015, there were only about 100 sex designation changes in the entirety of Quebec. In 2016, there were 500. You can imagine just how much of a difference just less gatekeeping can make. And remember, all those people who changed their sex designations are trans people who would otherwise suffer from a significantly reduced quality of life owing to being constantly outed as trans.
Any other questions? No? Okay, so we have a question from the audience from Kai Olivier. Why didn't they listen to trans orgs, or did they ask for any advice?
So, in fact, after the trans community kind of demanded that the trans community demanded to the Ministry of Justice that the trans community be consulted in the drafting of a response to the court case. So they listened, and they just made an opportunity for trans organizations and people working in trans rights to submit their own little brief on the matter. And in fact, this has happened. The center submitted a brief, and so did the Conseil Québécois LGBT and many other organizations. But I can only assume that these have been thrown right into the garbage because the bill is truly does not reflect what the trans community said during those consultations.
We have another question from Eleanor. So they'll be taking a page right off of transphobic gender marker policy in effect in Sweden. Are you aware of this policy?
Not really, but I'd be open to having the audience explain it.
Okay. I don't know if they will, but I have a question. Basically, what do you think people should
do now to support this situation?
I kind of said like a moment ago, but like the big things, if you have the time for grassroots organizing, join in. If you have the time to volunteer for an organization fighting for trans rights, jump ahead. If you have the money, the wallet, in order to donate to trans works, go ahead with that too. There's so much that you can do. There are infinite possibilities. And what I recommend everyone to first do is sign the legally binding petition and call your local lawmaker or all the lawmakers who are involved in the matter.
Perfect. Anna, do you have any last words for everyone watching?
Yes, so I'm just going to say the center has recently posted on Facebook a link to a website where you can send emails directly to lawmakers, just calling out the bill, just telling them what is wrong with them. There's already a pre-filled template and you only need to input your name, your email address, and your postal code. So it takes 2 minutes to do. Why don't you do so immediately? It's easy and you can really help turn the tide in our favor right now. And once that is the option, sign the legally binding petition. If you have the time, call your lawmakers. Maybe send them a fax if that even is a thing anymore, but just go ahead, do something.
Mm-hmm. We have another question from C. Is the government going to be holding consultations on this? And will organizations be able to make submissions on this specific policy?
Yeah, sorry, my phone just buzzed. So, on a matter, the Liberals are demanding that consultations will be held, and so does Quebec Solidaire, so it will, we're almost certain that it will happen. And when this happens, of course, trans rights organizations and activists will be involved in the process. And there will also be briefs that are submitted, there will be lots of activism that is being done then, and we're really hoping to use that opportunity as a way to just have all the transphobic shit removed from the bill. We don't even, like, much of Bill 2 is good, in fact. It's only the transphobic and interphobic stuff that needs to be just cut right off from the bill and just thrown into the trash. And if the government wants reform on the bill, which concerns trans people, have them actually consult and listen to the trans community and get the trans community's approval. Same applies for the intersex community. It's that simple.
So great to have you share and just demystify a lot of this for us here today, Celeste. And I think that the thing I'm hearing the most too is just like we all have to keep educating ourselves and following this case very, very closely, since within not even the span of a year, they've already made this regressive decision. So it seems like we always have to be very vigilant about following up. It seems like a takeaway. Also, just I'm thinking a lot about young people too that are going to be affected, and just like keeping reaching out to the people in our community.
Like especially with like people, especially with society being increasingly tolerant of trans people, there's been so many more people who would like otherwise not be comfortable coming out who just now have had such an opportunity. And the Quebec government is stealing this opportunity from them by imposing the sterilizing surgery requirement. It de facto prevents trans youth from being able to acquire a sex marker which conforms with their gender identity. So really, like, this bill will hurt trans youth disproportionately, and I feel bad for every trans youth who has to suffer with the consequences of this bill. My heart beats with you.
Thank you so much, and thank you to everyone. I just want to thank everyone who was in this video that was made. There's wonderful people at Aztec. There's the plaintiffs in the case, Evie Heller and Jenna Jacobs, and everyone else who helped with research, including Celeste. So thank you all for making that happen. And we're going to keep an eye on this and see you in the streets.
No problem. And keep on fighting.
open the door. Seek new world. In here, Security 90.3 FM from Montreal.
Attention McGill undergraduate students. Referendum is upon us. Exercise your right to vote on questions that matter to you and your campus experience. Vote in the fall referendum period from Monday, November 8th to Friday, November 12th. Look for your ballot in your McGill student email between November 8th to 12th. Let's rock the vote.
The Center for Gender Advocacy has one mandate, which is to fight gender oppression.
And so the Center for Gender Advocacy had instigated a trial against the Etat Civil to increase trans rights in Quebec. And one of the things we wanted to do was to be able to change the birth certificate of your children if you yourself have changed your designation of sex.
Et un des droits que j'ai, pour laquelle j'ai participé, c'était pour faire changer cet article pour pouvoir faire en bénéficier les personnes migrantes qui n'étaient pas citoyennes canadiennes.
You gotta remember the legal system is extremely discriminatory towards trans folks, and it is in itself very daunting, costly, and also just inaccessible for youth. Back in 2013, Quebec's legal context was extremely different. Trans folks needed to obtain gender-affirming surgery in order to get their legal gender marker changed. The law also only enabled trans folks above the age of 18 to transition legally. Additionally, non-citizens were unable to change their name nor their gender marker if they got citizenship, which would often take years on years on years. Non-binary folks were simply said completely excluded from the law. So it's like the whole system was rigged against trans folks.
I usually think of it like designation of sex is really just what, how you're seen legally. And so it's, you're assigned a sex at birth, and then this has to be changed legally if you ever change it. And so you can identify with another gender or no gender, or be gender fluid. There's lots of different gender identities, but there's only, like, before this trial, there's only two designations of sex. There was either male or female. And it's that designation, legal designation of sex, that's reflected on all of the documents.
So 6 years ago, I had as the father, because my legal change of designation of sex hadn't gone totally through yet. And so we started calling. So we started calling l'état civil. We talked to somebody, we talked to a superior, until finally we were given an answer that if you want to be the mother on your child's birth certificate, you have to change the law. And so we're like, great, this is exactly what we want to do. This is what they told us to do. So yeah, we're totally on board.
Alors moi, j'étais parmi les militantes pour le changement, car j'étais une des personnes qui n'était pas bénéficiée de pouvoir changer mes cartes d'identité, car je n'étais pas citoyenneté canadienne à l'époque. Depuis 2013, STEC a commencé à plus à militer pour la défense des personnes migrantes, car on a eu des personnes qui ont été pour se faire déporter, des personnes trans qui n'avaient pas de carte d'identité, pour pouvoir s'en procurer soit un job ou pour un appartement, surtout parce que le Québec, c'est la seule province au pays qui, à ce moment-là, on ne pouvait pas changer notre nom sur notre carte d'identité.
Trans youth are basically being like infantilized by the government. The government's presumably using all these stereotypes, claiming that trans youth are immature, they might regret their decision, etc. When it has been proven that teenagers who transition almost never regret it. And even amongst those who do eventually end up detransitioning, it's often because of transphobia itself and not because of regret. It's like, it's nonsense.
You know, we testified in 2015. We sort of just like let it go for a few years, or like, it, you know, the lawyers continued to do their work and the Center for Gender Advocacy continued to do their work.
And then in the process, I had my second child and all the legal stuff had gone through. So I was designated as the mother of my second child, which was made it even more ridiculous to be the mother of one child and the father legally of the other child. And so it really, like, it really made a good point in the case. So we were really brought on, me and my partner, Evie, just to, like, really highlight how ridiculous this is and to give a kind of a personal account of, like just how our rights have been violated in the past and how we feel like our rights are being violated again in this instance. And the courts actually responded pretty quickly. They also agreed that this case was pretty ridiculous. And they actually agreed to change my first child's birth certificate if we would remove ourselves from the case. Right?
And, you know, of course our lawyers were amazing. They were like, this would get you what you want, get you what you need, and it would be much faster than waiting for this whole process to go through. But of course it would weaken the case. And, you know, for us it was like, no, again, we're doing this so that every trans person can be recognized for who they are on their legal documents, whether it's on the birth certificate of their child, whether it's on their documents as a refugee, whether it's a teenager wanting a change of name. You know, like, we really felt strongly that this needs to change for everybody, not just us, you know?
L'impact que ça donne quand on n'a pas notre carte d'identité qui concorde avec notre identité, c'est que quand on va trouver un emploi, qu'est-ce qu'on met sur le CV, sur le résumé? Est-ce que je mets mon nom de naissance ou est-ce que je mets le nom avec lequel je m'identifie? Mais je n'ai pas de carte qui peuvent accompagner cette... Je l'ai vécu moi-même personnellement. Mon chèque doit sortir au nom de la personne que je ne suis pas. Donc, oui, c'est ça la différence d'une personne qui arrive ici et qui dit « Oh, ici, je vais au Canada, je vais me faire sentir respecté, mes droits sont quand même mis sur de mise, mais non. Non, il y a des entraves, il y a des obstacles. Puis Québec, surtout, c'est pas autant le gouvernement fédéral, mais c'est la province de Québec qui discrimine. »
When we received the verdict in January, we, you know, there were so many victories in that decision. You know, for designation of parents, for refugees, for folks without status, and some victories for youth.
Unfortunately, the government seeing this as an opportunity to attack trans youth and force these stereotypes about youth non-autonomy, chose to appeal this final point. So we're fighting back. And additionally, we're also counter-appealing the finding that apparently it was okay for trans folks going through a legal name change to have to go through a court process if a parent chooses to veto the name change.
Donc, qu'est-ce qu'on a gagné? Oui, on a gagné que les personnes peuvent, si longtemps qu'ils ont leur certificat de naissance, peuvent soumettre l'application auprès de l'état civil. Mais si on passe, c'est ça la nuance. Ils ne peuvent pas se le procurer. Comment est-ce qu'ils vont pouvoir réussir à changer leur nom quand ils n'ont pas un certificat pour valider le changement de naissance?
When we talked about who would take different, like, you know, media pieces and things, it felt so good to feel ready to be able to say, yes, I am non-binary. Yes, this trial directly affects me. Not only does it deeply affect my partner and my family, it also deeply affects me. And it deeply affects all trans folks. And, you know, whether you're about to have kids, whether you're having kids, whether you had your kids 18 years ago, 20 years ago, it's so important. I realized how deeply important it felt to be able to say, this is who I am, and I have the right to be who I am. And that just be legally recognized. And it's just a piece of paper. And who we are is so much more important and so much deeper and so much more complex than a piece of paper. But I realized how much not having that piece of paper can really make the journey harder. And there's no reason for that.
I'd say the best thing one can do concerning this appeal for the center to be victorious is just focus on saying that trans rights, especially trans youth rights, are 100% valid. It is totally okay to go to a trans rights protest, just even hanging a trans flag on your balcony, just showing small signs of love towards the trans community, just telling the Quebec government that we're not here to give up, and trans folks, non-binary folks, and intersex folks are here to stay, no matter what governments try to say.
And it's going to still be so much of a process, but there was such a huge relief of being like, look, this judge, I know it's just one judge, but this judge said, yeah, you know what? That totally makes sense. Trans folks should be able to list themselves how they want on their kids' birth certificates and on their, as they want, you know, on their refugee and status documents. Come on. And just to be like, yeah, and so I can be who I am. It's okay. I don't need to feel bad about it. Everybody can be who they are. It's just that simple.
Radio Show is a twice-monthly news show on CKUT. The show seeks to confront the invisibility of prisons and prisoner struggles by focusing on the roots of incarceration, policing, and criminalization, and by challenging ideas about what prisons are and who ends up inside. We are dedicated to programming that is directly collaborative with people who are currently incarcerated. With that in mind, we would like to let you know that we have a phone line for prisoners and their outside supporters. In fact, we have two phone lines. You can call us Collect from Bordeaux Prison and Riviere de Prairie Prison by calling 514-876-3748. We also have a number for non-collect calls. That number is 438-337-8423. Feel free to call that number and leave a message for us with news to share on the show or an audio message for your loved ones inside.
Quality sounds, tune into CKUT 90.3 on the frequency modulation band radio. www.ckut.ca on the internet. Streaming audio, archive shows, and information.
CKUT.
If you have flu-like or COVID-19-like symptoms, such as fever, cough, loss of taste or smell, or if you have been in contact with someone infected with the virus, it's essential to get tested and to follow isolation instructions, even if you're vaccinated. screening remains one of the best ways to limit outbreaks. To find out more, visit quebec.ca/test-covid-19. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
Keep your face
touch tips where emotions attract the meeting of our lips. Pursued as a rhythm, magnetize our hips. Techno to tectonic plates. With no chin. When you touch me, I'm out my body. Instinct takes place. Instinct. When you touch me, I'm out my body. Instinct takes place. Instinct. When you touch me, I'm out my body. Instinct takes place. Instinct. When you touch me, I'm out my body. Instinct takes place. Instinct takes place. Yours and your mind. As soon as you meet my face, close touch tips where our motions attract. The meeting of our lips, pursued as a rhythm, magnetized our hips. Techno to tectonic plates with no gym. When you touch me, I'm out my body. Instinct takes place. You know I'm yours. And you're mine. As soon as you meet my face. 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 As soon as you meet my face.
Times we
give times.
found you, found me. Found you, you found me. Still held in this, in knowing you. You got me, I got you. We made life, it's beating. Grow as we are, rooted here for us. Grow as we are for now, rooted here for us. Found you, you found me. Still held in this, in the way. You got me, I got you. We made life, we made life. It's beating, beating, beating. Sleeps in.
Welcome to Dragon Root Radio, Feminist Waves brought to you by CKUT and the Center for Gender Advocacy. The Dragon Root Media Collective aims to bring you feminist content that challenges interlocking systems of oppression and makes space for voices systemically silenced. Dragon Root understands media as being inherently political and emphasizes media skill sharing as a form of resistance. We meet every other Wednesday at 6 p.m. at the Center for Gender Advocacy and welcome anyone interested in learning or producing feminist media to join. No skills required.
Placing his flowers in a porcelain bowl, I mistook for a gift he gave in a lonesome hour. I reason with the edge of a shadow still draped up on my wall, can't remember his name.